Hello and welcome to Biblical Breadcrumbs. And in this episode, as we're exploring who Jesus is, as we're asking these questions about, you know, who should listen to him, as we're asking these, as we're making these points about how we have an opportunity here, how we're going to be judged on our response to it, we end up coming across a few groups of people who do not actually listen to Jesus. And so last time in Luke chapter 10, we saw this when you saw the lawyer stand up and ask Jesus, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus, you know, gives him a question back, and the lawyer answers properly. Jesus says, yeah, absolutely. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. That's right. But wishing to justify himself, this person is not listening to Jesus. He's trying to test Jesus. He's trying to make himself look good instead of listening to Jesus. And so he asks this question, and Jesus absolutely dunks on him. That's Luke chapter 10 in a nutshell, or at least the section that we looked at. That's about the summation of that chapter. And then you get into chapter 11, in which you're dealing with much the same thing. And so there are a bunch of different stories here. Jesus is teaching various truths, and yet he's dealing with people who do not believe in him. And there are a bunch of different reasons as to why. And so, for instance, if you're looking in Luke chapter 11, let's start reading in verses 14 through 16. Now Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon came out, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowds were amazed. But some of them said, he drives out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. And others, as a test, were demanding of him a sign from heaven. What do you have going on here? You have people who don't believe in Jesus. Why? Is it because Jesus isn't teaching good things? Is it because Jesus isn't teaching true things? No, it's not because of that. Is it because Jesus isn't doing good things? And like he's talking really good, but then his actions don't match up with his thoughts or his words. Is that the case? Well, no, it's not the case at all. In fact, he's freeing people from demonic possession. That's pretty good, isn't it? So what's going on here? So what are people upset about? You know what people are upset about? They're upset that Jesus is doing good. They're upset that Jesus is healing someone. They're upset that Jesus is helping because why? There's no logical reason to be upset when someone, you know, comes in and fixes a problem. Unless you are happier with the problem. And so these people look at the man with the demon, and they're fine to have that guy have a demon. Because when he gets healed, a bunch of people get impressed, but then a bunch of other people are like, yeah, but that must be bad, right? And that doesn't really make sense, except for when you account for the state of people's hearts. Because when you're dealing with Jesus, you're dealing with a bunch of different responses. We've talked about the sower already. We've talked about the sower back in one of the previous chapters. In chapter 8, the parable of the sower, Jesus tells that parable. And what is it? It's that the sower goes out, and he throws about the word of God, and he does the things of God, and then he wonders who will respond. And there are a bunch of different responses. And some people just don't listen at all. Some people listen a little bit but aren't really grounded. Some people listen a lot but, you know, are dragged aside by other stuff. Whereas some people actually listen and are actually, you know, attentive to Jesus. The crowd that's amazed, they're attentive to Jesus. They're thinking, they're considering, they're seeing all these wonderful things happening in front of them. The crowd who's questioning Jesus, who watches a demon get cast out, a man is healed, and they say, well, Jesus must be operating based on demonic power. There's no good reason for them to think that. And yet some people choose to reject Jesus anyway. There's a good batch of people, a good portion of people nowadays that don't listen to Jesus. Why? Just because they don't want to. And there's not a good reason for it. There's not a rational explanation for it. It's just that it's not something they're into. They're not interested in it for whatever reason. They've been off put by bad Christians before. They've seen a bunch of religions go, you know, crazy directions, and they don't want to be involved in that. And there are a bunch of external factors that they see. And then when Jesus comes in, even understanding a legitimate view of Jesus, they walk away. Because as great as he is, they're still caught up on the externalities and they're upset by those instead. We don't want to be like those people. Because the fact is, Jesus is very good. He's done a lot of good stuff. He's done a lot of good teaching and a multitude of good actions. He's been so helpful. He's been a great leader. He's been a great guide. He's been a great teacher. He has been everything. He will just continue to do those things. We don't want to be people who walk away from that. And I understand if you've had a bad experience with Christianity, that Christianity doesn't seem appealing anymore. But Jesus is. And that's the thing, is that modern-day Christians, modern-day people who, I should modify that phrase, people who associate themselves with Christ nowadays are not always or not often good representations of who he actually is. And so it's understandable if you're off-put by the things of Jesus. It's understandable if you're off-put by Christianity in general, but you got to understand that means we need to be like Christ, not be like other people who claim the name of Christ, even though they don't act properly like him. There are unfortunately many people who have seen external trappings and are distracted by those so that when Jesus comes along, they don't realize the greatness that's there and they disavow him. Let's not be like those. We've got to look a little bit deeper. We've got to look at life a little bit better instead of testing Jesus and ignoring him and pushing off all this good stuff that he's done as something that's bad so that we can pursue the things that we want instead. That's not a good way to look at Jesus. And we can see that in these people. It's more difficult to see when we're looking in our own lives. But that's not the only problem Jesus is dealing with here. That's not the only problem that goes on in this chapter. In fact, as you continue, more problems end up arising. And so we're going to skip down to verse 37. We're going to skip down to this last section, verses 37 through 54, the end of the chapter, because here you're dealing with more Pharisees and lawyers, essentially. While verse 15 was dealing with crowds and some of them, so that may well be normal like plebeians, if you know, then 37 is dealing with some of the religious experts, a Pharisee, or verse 45, one of the experts in the law, the lawyers, right? Someone who is an expert in Mosaic law, not just like a prosecutor. You're dealing with religious people, religiously minded individuals. And yet, when Jesus comes here, he runs into the same problems because he's dealing with people who don't want to believe him for whatever reason. So why not? Right? Why do these people not want to believe him? Let's read and see. Let's start in verse 37. As he was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. And when the Pharisee saw this, he was amazed that he did not first perform the ritual washing before dinner. But the Lord said to him, "Now, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and evil. Fools, didn't he who made the outside make the inside too? But give from what is within to the poor, and then everything is clean to you. But woe to you, Pharisees! You give a tenth of mint and rue and every kind of herb, and you bypass justice and love for God. These things you should have done without neglecting the others. And woe to you, Pharisees! You love the front seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you! You are like unmarked graves. The people who walk over them don't know it." This is pretty similar to another address Jesus will give in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 is more fleshed out than this. Matthew 23 also happens at a later point in time, I believe. This is not the same instance, I don't think, but Matthew 23 is kind of a more complete and full version of the blasting Jesus gives here, which is what? Like, why does Jesus, you know, react to the situation? What's going on? Well, he's teaching and he's being ignored. A Pharisee invites him in. A Pharisee invites him to dinner, and Jesus says, okay, right? He'll go have dinner with him, which itself is impressive. The Pharisees are not very kind to Jesus. The Pharisees are hating on Jesus, and yet Jesus is willing to go and spend time with them and work with them and try to help them and to try to lead them into the truth. That's an incredible thing. Jesus is an incredible guy, not just a guy, but also God, but he's just incredible as he is. And so he goes in, and so he lays down on one of the couches that's there. He reclines at the table, and the Pharisee is watching that. But what? But he looks at Jesus, and he starts passing judgment on Jesus. Why? Right? Because it's normal for human beings to look at one another and you know, make assumptions, right? Or based on some of the actions that I do, you can make assumptions about things about me. And those can be bad, or those can be perfectly legitimate. But the Pharisee looks at Jesus, and he's amazed. He's flabbergasted, right? He is amazed, just like the crowds were in verse 14. The crowds were amazed when Jesus casts out a demon, and a man who has been mute and has never been able to speak speaks now. That's amazing. But you know what's amazing to the Pharisee? It's not the demon casting out. It's not the miracles Jesus has performed. What's amazing is that Jesus didn't wash his hands before dinner. You know, when we were little kids, your parents would likely tell you, you should wash your hands before dinner, right? Get all the germs off and then come and eat. And, you know, maybe that's good and advisable, and maybe it doesn't really matter. I don't really care. Either way, it's a tradition of human beings, and it's not a command, it's not a law. When your parents tell you to do it, when you're a little kid, hey, you should obey them, you should respect them, honor them. And so, yeah, do it. But, you know, that's not an essential part of being godly. But to the Pharisees, it was. Right? Because the Pharisees, I think we've talked about this before, I don't remember. If not, here's a brief recap. The Pharisees were an interesting people because what did they do? They made a lot of laws, right? They had this law of Moses. They had the law that God gave to Moses to convey to the people of Israel. And then the Pharisees added a bunch of stuff to it, a bunch of different specific ways in which you could accomplish those laws. And so one of the things that God emphasizes for his people is that his people should be clean, his people should be holy, his people should be, you know, set apart from the rest of the world. And one of the things that the Pharisees do is they come along and they say, oh, you've got to be clean. That means you have to wash your hands before dinner. That's what God said. Guess what? It's not what God said, okay? God never says, wash your hands before dinner, but the Pharisees do. And they teach it like God's law. And so Jesus comes in, and he doesn't wash his hands. And the Pharisee who has these expectations, the Pharisee who has these laws in his head where he says, God said these things, right? He's made up his own law for himself. He goes against Jesus. He looks at Jesus and says, wow, Jesus is not living up to expectation now, is he? Jesus isn't doing what's right now, is he? And he comes in, and he accuses him. In his head, I think, I don't know that any of this was worded or verbalized, he's just looking at Jesus like, how does this guy break the command of God, which really is the command of man, but he's breaking my preconceived notions about what Jesus should do? And Jesus says, look, right? You guys have chosen to emphasize some things in the law, but you've also chosen to ignore some things in the law. And you've chosen to emphasize some things in God's law that were not there. You've chosen to add things to it instead of listening to God. There are some people who, when they see Jesus, they run into questions and problems with Jesus. There are some people, as they go in, they clean themselves up, right? They clean the outside up and they look really good, but then they start listening to Jesus and they don't like it on the inside. And they don't actually want to live like he tells them to because he doesn't align with them. A lot of people in this world have preconceived notions about what they should and shouldn't do, and what is right and wrong, and what is good and evil, and what how they ought to live, and then how they ought not to live. A lot of people have these ideas. And then Jesus comes along, and Jesus says something different. Maybe slightly different, maybe drastically different. He says something different, and we, in all of our wisdom and great ideas, think that we know better than he does. And so we look at him, and he didn't wash his hands. We look at him, and he didn't follow our ideas. We look at him, and he's saying something that we wouldn't say. And so we start to disavow him and ignore him. The fact is that Jesus says a lot of things that make people uncomfortable. The fact is that Jesus says a lot of things that make even me uncomfortable. But what? But what's the call? Jesus is God. That's been established. That keeps being shown over and over and over again. And what he's asking for is people to recognize that. The Pharisee doesn't. Right? There are a bunch of people who don't nowadays. There are a bunch of people who look at Jesus and say, he's contradicting me, therefore he must be wrong. Therefore, I'll ignore him. Therefore, I'm going to do my own thing. But the fact is, when you're evaluating Jesus, did Jesus do all these miracles that history says he did? If he did, guess what? If he did, guess what? You can't heal people, right? You can't cast demons out of people. Right? You're not being proclaimed as the Son of God, but he was. So guess what? Right? Who wins? Who gets to set the laws here? Unfortunately, many people come to Jesus setting their own laws, and when Jesus doesn't live up to their preferences or their standards, they walk away from him. But you know what? If he's the one who's coming in all this greatness that he shows, if he did in fact come as history said he did, if he did all these miracles like history says he did, then what? Then he gets to set the rules. And it's not about him aligning with you, it's about you aligning with him. The Pharisees are very intent on cleaning themselves up on the outside, but on the inside, they're full of their own ideas and they're full of filth. One example of that, in verse 42, they tithe, they give a tenth of all these little herbs. God told them they should give a tenth. God told them they should, you know, offer a tenth to him. That was the rule that was established in the Old Testament. And so it's a good thing that they've offered the tenth. It's a good thing that they're taking that so specifically and that they're building that into their lives and that they're honoring God in that way. And yet, doing that, they've taken the license to ignore justice and love. They've taken the license to ignore important things about how they deal with other people so long as they give 1 out of 10 of every little pinch of herb. These things you ought to have done. Like, it's good that you did those things, but the fact that you're ignoring all this other stuff that God said is not good. So woe to you. You're greedy. Verse 43, you're seeking all the best places. You're seeking to be greeted. You're seeking fame. You're seeking honor. You're seeking wealth among men, but not with God. Woe to you. You're like unmarked graves. You're going to make people unclean and dirty and defiled. You're going to make people dishonor all sorts of their ancestors and themselves, and you're going to destroy them. And they don't even know it. You're hidden away. And unfortunately, a lot of people today are in that same situation. And they look at Jesus, and he's pretty cool. And he teaches some good stuff sometimes. And he has some valuable advice, and he has some good benefits, and they start nodding along with Jesus, and that's really good. But then Jesus says something they don't like. And they say no. Jesus says something they don't like, and they say, well, that has to be wrong, right? Because I don't like it. I don't align with it. I don't personally connect with that point. So I'm just going to ignore that one. Maybe I'll follow the other ones even, but I'm going to ignore that one because I don't like what he says. Guess what? Either Jesus is right or he's not. If he's right, you have to follow him. If he's not, you need to run away from him. Because he tells a lot of big things. He makes a lot of huge claims to be God's son, to be the Christ, to be the savior of the world. Is he truthful or is he lying? Those are the only two options. It's not that he can be a good teacher who is a good moral guide, but I'm going to disagree with him on a few of these things and we're all going to be okay, right? There are plenty of good moral teachers who you can also disagree with on some stuff and be okay, because not every human will get everything right. In fact, most humans will not get everything right. But when you have Jesus, who's claiming to be God, who's claiming to be perfect, who's claiming to be flawless, who's claiming to be sinless, who's claiming to be everything, the guide to this future life, when you're looking at Jesus, there are only two options. Either he's right or he's not. If he's not right, I need to get away from him because he's not worth trusting in any way, shape, or form. If he's claiming to be God and that's a lie, what else is he lying on? But if he's right, I have to get close to him in every way, in every conceivable way, because if he's God, I want a connection with God. I need that. And as a human being, I have to have that. Otherwise, I'm not worth anything. Otherwise, I can't have anything. I can't reach heaven one day. My life has no meaning, and nothing that I do makes any sense. And life is void without God. If he is God, I have to be connected with him. And that's the key. Why do you think he does so many miracles? Why do you think he casts the demon out of this man? It's so that other people believe in him. And you know what? Some do and some don't. Based on what they want to see, based on what they want to hear, based on what they feel like people listen to or reject Jesus. Y'all, we can't listen to Jesus like that. Jesus is a lot bigger than that. Either he's a complete liar that you need to avoid at all costs, or he's completely telling the truth and you have to be around him at all costs. But we cannot come to Jesus with our ideas and measure how well he fits up to our ideals and our notions and our thought processes. And if Jesus doesn't match up to me, then I'm just going to ignore him. No, that's not how this process works. You can reject Jesus if you want to, right? Yeah, right. You can reject him if you want to. This Pharisee did. The experts in the law in verse 45, they do too. The people who called him a demon in verse 15, they did as well. And so many people have. The majority of the world rejects Jesus. That's just how it is. They reject Jesus or they reject the true Jesus and who Jesus is. That's true for most of the world. And that's perfectly fine. You can do that. Just know that one day you're going to come face to face with him when he comes back and you're going to have to answer for why you did that. Because that's who Jesus is. And as he continues to go, as he's been declared God already, he's been declared Christ already, he's claimed those things, and now as you continue to go on, you're going to keep getting further and further into it. As you continue to go on, you're going to keep seeing the things that Jesus does. You're going to keep seeing the things that Jesus says and the things that Jesus claims, and it's going to get greater and greater until you're left wondering, who is this guy? Here's all the evidence, and what do I get to do with it? That's Luke chapter 11, summed up. Next week, we'll go into Luke chapter 12, dealing with some more things, pivoting away from questions about Jesus into more of his teaching and maybe more of his miracles. And we'll see some more things about him, more evidence for who he is. But you have to start asking yourself, okay, who is this guy? Either he's right or he's not. And you've heard enough at this point that you need to start forming an opinion. You don't have to solidify an opinion, but you need to start forming one because you've heard enough and you've been exposed to enough to know a general picture. Do I believe in what history says, or do I doubt the things that are written here? That's a question that you have to answer. I can't do it for you. But I hope that you think about this, and you think about Jesus, and you really delve into who he is. Maybe you're a Christian, maybe you're not at all. We all need to think about this, because a lot of times, if you grow up Christian, you don't really think about this, and you don't really delve into who Jesus is, and you just kind of accept Jesus because that's what your parents did, and ultimately, it doesn't really mean that much to you, and you don't really care because you haven't thought about this. If you're not Christian at all, then you haven't thought about Jesus, and you haven't given him any time of day, quite frankly. Many people just have passed over him and have ignored his existence, and maybe you hear about him in culture, but you don't do anything with it. I don't know. But this is Jesus. This is who he is, and many people reject him for no reason. Don't be one of those people. Consider who he is. And maybe after considering, you reject him. And you know, that's your choice. That's totally up to you. Or maybe after considering, you accept him. Again, that's your choice. That's what I'm hoping for. But that's ultimately your choice and up to you. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you benefited and see some things about who Jesus is. I cannot answer all your questions for you, but I can hopefully give you some ideas of how to answer those questions and start to consider who Jesus is, even from this base point. God bless, and I'll see you next time.